I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there. It's funny, I've had 4 days now. I took Thursday, Friday, we do Christmas music. 4 days of compiling news really becomes a notes of attrition type thing. I've got so much stuff. I'm constantly pulling stuff. Rarely do I ever have a lack of what I find to be interesting news. And again, I try to cover the things that aren't covered in other shows. I don't usually do the things that you're going to hear other places. And my biggest challenge is always to get everything into a good flow. I don't know if people understand the work that is done to storyboard this show and try to make it flow, try to make it make some sense, have one thing lead into another. It takes a while to figure that out. I don't know if it shows or not, but there's a good flow to this show. And there's plenty of it as America continues to lose its mind, really the entire world. And we're seeing exactly what we anticipated seeing. All I can say is thank God for the warm weather here in central Mississippi. I had occasion to watch some local news over the course of the holiday while I was out of town for a portion of the time. I did see some local news, and I still have not heard anything from Thomas Dobbs. I've not seen his face, and I really you've got to credit the 70-plus weather that has got people outside and doing things, and we're not in our homes, and we're still getting a little vitamin D, so looks like that'll stay for another week, but it's coming. It's coming. We know we're going to get cold weather, and the hysteric Thomas Dobbs is going to lose his mind over it. Quotes of the day today. This one, you know, I'm always trying to counsel my children. My son has got a steady girlfriend that he's pretty serious with. He's a college student, and I'm always trying to counsel my kids on how to pick the right mate. Anybody who has had a swing and a miss on that one, sometimes that can be quite the disaster. There are no guarantees in life, but I've tried to do what I can to help him relationship learn from my mistakes. Anyway, I ran across this meme that kind of hit a chord. It said, if you're not happy single, you won't be happy dating someone. Happiness comes from overthrowing the government and holding the politicians that stole our freedoms accountable. Amen. Amen. Source of my happiness. And then Zuby, the conservative rapper from England, had put out a tweet that I thought was really great. He said, people think I appreciate it when they DM or email me saying that they agree with what I say, but they can't say so publicly for fear of the mob or getting canceled. He goes on to say, but I don't appreciate it. You're part of the problem. Mass cowardice is how things got this far. Amen, Zuby. To those of you in the medical establishment right now that are participating in this grand experiment, but you don't dare say anything. You don't dare treat your patients with ivermectin or vitamin D or vitamin C and zinc and quercetin. You instead stick them on remdesivir because that's how you keep your paychecks steady. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Hope everybody had a nice Christmas. I just drove to the state of Louisiana and back this weekend. No big deal, but God love you if you had to travel by plane. Data tracker flightaware.com shows the U.S., and this was as of yesterday, these things are still going on, showed the U.S. Flight cancellations exceeded 2,400 in just the past 2 days. I guess this was Friday and Saturday, 2,400 flights canceled. And I wonder how many of you are still loving the COVID overlords these days, those of you who didn't get to see friends and family, even though you were brave enough to venture out. And I got to tell you, if you're one of the hysterics, because I saw a lot of interviews with these people on planes, you can never tell. I mean, everybody has to wear a mask in an airport, right? Because, I mean, look at how effective that's been. I mean, COVID, as soon as we got the masks on, COVID just disappeared, right? So you don't know when you look at people that are in the airport doing these interviews about their frustrations of having flights canceled and rebooked and showing up at the airport and there being no planes and they can't get to their holidays and they can't see their family and their kids can't come home for Christmas. You can't tell which one of these people are the true hysterics out there. But to a hysteric, I mean, I don't think you have the ability to complain. This is what you have created here. And just knowing that you don't have to worry about an unvaccinated pilot flying you from place to place must make you feel wonderful. And knowing that you don't have an unvaccinated flight attendant must make you feel wonderful. It must be worth missing all of your family fun. Being stuck in an airport on Christmas morning, that must make you feel very good because at least you didn't have an unvaccinated pilot. What's interesting is that the airlines, who broadly, I'm not sure where it ended up shaking out on airline by airline, but most of the airlines put in these ridiculous vaccine mandates for their employees, so they lost a bunch of people starting off. But they lost these people a while back. Now, the reason that the airlines were in such bad shape and had to cancel, I guess now it's over 3,000 flights over the past few days, is because they had so many Omicron cases. Now, isn't that interesting? I mean, they forced all of their employees to get the jabs, and now they're canceling flights because their employees are sick? Wait. I don't quite understand how that is. I guess the idea is that, well, at least they're not going to get sick and die because they didn't have it. People slept in airports. Spirit, American, cancel hundreds of flights amid staffing shortages. These are the headlines. I love this one. Get your blank together. Angry American airline customers hit with travel delays due to labor shortage. And again, I say, if you're one of the hysterics that cheered all of these mandates for these places for this worthless shot, you really have nothing to complain about. This is exactly what you asked for. Southwest blames cancellations on worker shortage. Union denies sick out over vaccine mandate. So there we go. This is the world. The COVID hysterics are still screwing up things for the rest of us. Stories of bowl games being canceled. Teams already in their towns, ready to get started with their games, and their opponents bow out because a couple of people tested positive. You've got to love a disease so severe. You've got people lined up for miles just to find out if they've got it. And what's so funny is you've got people in lines. I noticed this. You've got people standing in lines for hours and hours among other people who think that they might be sick to get a test. I would imagine these are nothing but long lines of super spreader events. And somehow they have convinced the hysterics to get into these. Anyway, we got plenty of clips on those things today and some pretty outrageous comments from some political leaders in this country, if you can believe it. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run.
There's a large dry erase board in the WYAB studios. We are treated to all kinds of graphics on there. I'm not sure who the elf is that comes in and draws on these things, but we get some funny stuff on there. We get some drawings. It's got a giant, I think it says, Happy 2022. God, I hope so. I got talking to somebody this weekend. I'm not a pessimist. I really am not. I think that that's depressing. But what fresh hell is 2022 got in store for us just seems to be rattling around in my brain. I have no earthly idea what's next. I've thought about trying to put together some kind of a prediction show. You know, now is the time where you recap the previous year and you prognosticate on the coming year. I got to be honest with you. At this point, I really don't know what people won't do. The most absurd things, I think I need to really dig deep and try to figure out some of the more absurd things that, people will do, will be convinced of in the coming 2022. Because the most recent thing is this push to test. Boy, somebody got a fat contract on this testing, didn't they? And I guess people can't see that. So they have convinced Americans across the board to line up for hours and hours during the busiest time of the year to stand in line for hours to search and find out if they have a germ.
According to one projection from researchers at the University of Washington, nearly 3 million Americans could be infected each day by the
hour.
I mean, end of January. The model estimates total infections beyond the number confirmed from tests. Advice from one scientist.
If somebody has been vaccinated a long time ago, he or she need to go and get a booster as soon as possible.
Boost.
Somebody has been infected a long time ago because there is a waning immunity from infection. And
he has no scientific basis for that whatsoever. They have studied, and there is still immunity from SARS, the original, the OG SARS virus back in 2003. We're, 18 years later, and they're still testing people with plenty of antibodies to the original SARS of 2003. But this guy just says, oh, if it's been a while since you got infected, you need to go out there and get that shot.
From vaccines.
So that this is what they're saying. I mean, there's no scientific basis for this, but of course... it definitely means we need to be on the hunt. We need to go out and look for disease. You feel fine? You look fine? You want to go off and do something? Hold on a second. Let us test and make sure you're not sick.
Tonight, the last-minute rush for COVID tests in the final moments before Christmas.
Can't find it anyplace. CVS, ShopRite, Walgreens, Walmart. Everybody's at them.
In Queens...
It's COVID tests this year. We're like the new... I don't know. The last thing I really cared... Or I didn't care about it, but last thing I... What, Beanie Babies? My kids are 20 years old. I haven't had to keep up with what the hot toys were, and I don't think my kids really ever got into the craze, but obviously what used to be a search for some very popular gift for a child in the sense of giving and making a child happy now has become the endless search for the test.
New York, dozens desperate for at-home tests devolving into chaos and disorder.
Those people are not in line. Don't give them one.
Those people are not in line. Don't give them a test. I thought this was about health. Don't we want everybody to get tested? Listen to these nut jobs. Listen to what they have been convinced to become.
Hundreds of cars in Los Angeles County snaking their way to a testing site. And in Georgia, this...
I got to tell you, that can't be good for our climate. That can't be good. Across the country, miles and miles of people sitting and running their cars for 4 hours at a time to wait on a test? That can't be good for the environment.
Church offering...
I guess it's better than if you had gotten stuck in one of these lines in an electric vehicle. You might have been stuck like Chuck. You get a test, but you'd need an Uber to get home.
Test hours before Christmas Eve service after months of promoting the vaccine.
So here we go. This is what we've become over the holidays. I guess this was a big... Look, I didn't even really do a lot of shopping this year, nothing. Christmas kind of came and went for me this year. It's a couple of days off. I'll be honest. It never felt Christmassy. The 70 degrees didn't help anything, but I didn't have to do any of the mall rush, any of that stuff, but I certainly didn't participate in this little pageant.
Well, one of the items in highest demand this holiday season, a COVID test. And in the East Bay, tons of people were trying to get tested today, but dozens were turned away. KPXY's Don Lynn reports on how the test shortage is bringing down the holiday spirit.
All the Bay Area drugstores are sold out of the COVID home test kits, and most county and state-run test sites are closed on Christmas Eve. This was the line in front of Friendship Christian Church in West Oakland. About 50 to 60 people waited for the church to open.
50 or 60 people who suspect they might be sick, all hanging out together. Holy cow. Idiocracy.
The Alameda County website says this was one of two locations in the entire county opened for testing starting at noon. Problem was, it was bad information. Like most East Bay test sites, the church was closed.
It's just really disappointing, honestly.
Standing in line on a cold day with a bunch of people is not exactly what you want to do.
Rebecca, her husband, and their infant...
Then don't do it.
Daughter were among the folks waiting. their babysitter spent 3 hours in their home and just tested positive for COVID.
We'll quarantine for 14 days and see.
God almighty. I am stunned by this stuff. I have to laugh. So the babysitter tested positive. Obviously, the babysitter, they would have noticed if she came in gagging and coughing and sick. You know, she just tested positive for these things and another one of these ridiculous tests. So this family is going to quarantine themselves for 14 days.
If there's any symptoms, and just try and keep on attempting to get a PCR test. But definitely had to cancel plans for any family gathering.
Many people in this line plan to do the same. Cancel.
We will most likely just be doing drop-bys and dropping off presents, it looks like, which is fine. Rather to be safe than sorry, for sure.
This community test center was Caressa Parati's last hope after failing to buy a home test kit this week.
Oh, it's my last hope.
Everything has been sold out. San Leandro, Hayward, all of Oakland. I've been calling Walmart, CVS, everything.
We're Kaiser patients, and the first COVID test that was available was December 29th.
Oh, God's Lord. What is going on with these people? Now, I don't know if we experienced this. I was in Louisiana. I was out and about a little bit. I mean, I didn't see any of this. I don't know if this is taking place in the South. And again, it's been 70-something degrees. Maybe this is just for the true hysterics and the nuts that are up in the colder climates. I'm not really sure, but this has gone absolutely insane. This is for a disease. There was a screenshot going around. It's basically like a meme. It says the common symptoms of, you know, the Omicron are runny nose, coughing, sneezing, headache, fatigue. The common cold. This is all about a cold. And if you want to know where this thing is headed, again, I've said this for forever, and it felt like it wasn't really getting any traction. I just knew the surge was coming. And look, this is where it also is. It's headed back to our schools. There's a cold going around. They're calling the Omicron. Then they're going to start masking our children and closing our schools. There is a new scam. I'm going to see if I can find a clip. The testing people really stepped up their game. I think they realized that people were losing interest. And they just were, sales were trickling off. The testing people, I would love to see, maybe opensecrets.org will do a piece on the testing companies and their political contributions, because they may have poached a couple of Pfizer marketing guys. I mean, this testing stuff is absolutely, they're crushing it, killing it, making money on this testing. But to look overseas as well, to know we're not the only sheep in the world, I mean, granted, these people live under an oppressive government, that this is what's happening in China right now over this thing.
Authorities in China have placed 13 million people under strict lockdown amid a coronavirus outbreak in the city of Xi'an. Officials there have confirmed more than 250 cases.
250 cases of the cold. 250 colds. They have shut down. They have locked down 13 million people. Then, you know, the Chinese lockdown is you stay home now.
Past 2 weeks, the Xi'an government has now banned all citizens from going outside in principle and is requiring them to take PCR tests. One person per household is allowed to go out once every 2 days to buy daily necessities.
Holy cow. Look, I do not believe this is over with this. Now, I don't know if people will finally catch on. Didn't it feel a little bit, maybe a couple of months ago, like people were starting to look around and notice that, you know, the shots were failing? They weren't working. And I have got some statistics on the shots that are jaw-dropping. I'm going to get to those in the show today for sure. But it felt a little bit like people were kind of getting their lives back. And then you just see this testing push. This is all marketing stuff. We didn't even test like this for Delta. They have just decided, as I said, I believe one of the Pfizer marketing people has gotten in with Abbott Labs. These guys are always moving from place to place. Hey, Johnny, we see you did such a great job with convincing hundreds of millions of Americans to become a part of an experiment. And then when we saw that you could get them to get their kids involved in this experiment, we knew you were the guy to get the testing going. And they probably hired the testing guys. But I don't believe that this is over. We will, again, we've got a lot of the Greek alphabet left to go, and I would imagine one of these things will come out, and they will tell us it's even more. If they can do this with the common cold, can you even imagine if we go back to some kind of a so-called Delta strain, something similar to that? People spent their Christmas holidays in lines for hours and hours for this testing. I've been floored by watching the coverage of all this. So we go from testing to shots. When we come back, Steve Kirsch is a columnist. He publishes on Substack along with Alex Berenson. They both got some articles out about these shots that are the one that Steve Kirsch has got out is absolutely amazing stuff. There are now 10 studies. 10 studies have been done. It's either 9 or 10 that are looking at the data around vaccine mortality. I'm not talking about mortality from COVID. I'm talking about how many people actually, because we know that VAERS right now hovering around 20,000 people that have supposedly died from the shots. This is on VAERS. They're vetted by the CDC. Anybody can report to these things. It's mostly medical professionals that report, but it doesn't matter who it is. Whoever reports to this thing, the CDC reaches out before they assign it a case number and they start collecting documents and data around any claim. Got 20,000 cases of deaths on VAERS right now. Most people have suspected that is just the tip of the iceberg because VAERS is so wildly underreported. The Harvard study from years ago said it's somewhere between 1 and 10%, so it could be a 10x of what that is. Well, they've got some independent data researchers going through this information, and now we're up to 9 or 10 studies giving us an idea of what the true mortality has been after these shots. And I'll draw a parallel to that, something else that we consume often, and we'll see how many people would be participating in something if these numbers were actually public. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Arms around me, I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. This station has carved out a little niche for itself. Maybe we're entirely preaching to the choir now. I don't know. You know, during the holidays, different people are driving around different times. They're not at work like they normally are. You may get some people. So maybe I should try to strike a somewhat convincing tone rather than a mocking tone of the hysterics at this point. Eventually, people will wake up to this. The question is, will it be too late? For many people, it is too late. They've ruined their lives. They've willingly ruined their lives over these things. But there are just some facts out there that are just... They're pretty difficult to ignore, I would think. If you have any capacity for independent thought left, and that's what this show appeals to, some of these things are pretty hard to ignore. Like this, as we do our freak out, everybody's lined up for testing, and they tell you that we have a pandemic of the unvaccinated and all this ridiculousness. In England, 70%... That's 7-0. 70% of London's COVID hospitalizations were diagnosed after the patient had already been admitted for other ailments, it has been revealed. Now, you have to think about this when you hear the hysterical little girl Thomas Dobbs or Anthony Fauci or any of these people coming out and telling you that the hospitals are overrun with COVID patients. 70% of London's COVID hospitalizations were diagnosed after the patient had already been admitted for other ailments. As Telegraph journalist Alison Pearson reveals, much of the panic is being driven by cases being counted as COVID despite the patient being admitted for other reasons. Quote, astonishing fact, 70% of London's so-called COVID hospitalizations are diagnosed several days after admission for other ailments. They are not COVID patients. A positive test 8 days after admission means the hospital basically gave the patient COVID. 70%. And this is what's being reported as hospitals being overwhelmed by the unvaccinated. 70% of these hospitalizations. To lead into what I'm about to get into you in some statistics that are pretty jaw-dropping. This was Tedros. He is the head of the WHO. He makes a slip here, or does he?
So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children, which is not right.
What? Some are using boosters to kill children? Is that what he said?
So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children, which is not right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was pointed out that what he was trying to say was he was reading something and he started to say children, and he realized he was saying it wrong, so he started the kill, and then he said children. But it's just one of these unfortunate slips that sticks out like a sore thumb to many of us. Steve Kirsch, and if anybody's really interested in seeing this, there are now, the number he cites is 9 studies. 9 studies looking at excess mortality because of the shot. And he's got a very, he references some of these studies. It would not make for good radio. For instance, I'll read this now. These are independent researchers who are trying to get a handle on people who have died because of the shots. And we know that VAERS right now is somewhere around 20,000. I guess I need to check open VAERS and see where they are right now. They've got around 20,000, but studies have already shown, and we've played clip after clip after clip on this show of people in hospitals saying, nobody here knows what VAERS is. They don't know how to report it. We've got doctors telling patients who come in paralyzed after a shot or with racing heart, they tell them, oh, you're just suffering from anxiety. So VAERS is wildly underreported. I'm going to read you this first little bullet point here just to show you that this is not great radio, but I'll boil it down for you. Results from fitted regression slopes of P less than 0.05 FDR corrected. See, this is why it's not good radio. Suggest a U.S. national average VFR, that's vaccine fatality rate, of 0.04% and higher VFR with age, meaning it's higher, more mortality in older people. And they go through all of these VFRs, 0.002, 0.04, all of these different things. That's why I don't want to read it, but here's the upshot of it. This independent study, and this is the 9th in a string of studies that have basically all found the same thing within small discrepancies of numbers, because we can't get honest numbers on this. This independent researcher is saying that between 146,000 and 187,000 vaccine-associated U.S. deaths between February and August of 2021. 146,000 to 187,000 vaccine-associated deaths. I'll remind you that in 1970, what was it? 73 or 77? I think it was an avian flu. It might have been a swine flu that came out. They rushed out a vaccine on that. Somewhere, I've seen numbers from 37 to 53, somewhere in that, we had a few dozen people that died from the vaccine. They halted the whole program. They'd inoculated, I think, around 20 million Americans, but it had somewhere between 30 and 50 deaths, and they halted the entire program. Now we've got independent data researchers. This is, again, the 9th study that's come out, showing somewhere around 150 to 175,000 people have been killed by these shots. And I thought about it in this context here. Let's just go ahead and round it to 150,000. They're saying up to 187. I'm always trying to be generous with this, trying to be conservative with these numbers. If there have been 150,000 vaccine deaths, and I even divided this by 56 weeks, I'm giving them December of 2020 when they first rolled out these shots, all the way through the end of this week, to really spread it out, to make the numbers smaller for my points of comparison here. If you had 150,000 deaths from this vaccine, divided by this 56 weeks, you get 2,678 people a week that have died from these shots, or that's 382 people a day. Now, when you think about all of the people that are lining up now to get their children injected with these shots in particular, but people who are still out there getting shots and getting boosters, that 382 a day, that's a jumbo jet a day crashing and killing all on board. every single day for the past 56 weeks. How many people would be getting onto an airplane to travel for any reason whatsoever if they knew that every single day a jumbo jet fell out of the sky, killing all aboard? And within the context of this, to make sure that you understand how accurate this comparison is, there's plenty of planes that fly and don't crash, right? I don't know if even this many jets went down, and you know how horrific we usually hear of one, maybe two a year. It's terrifying. Even though I was a Delta Airlines child growing up with my father being with the airlines, not a huge fan of flying. And I know it's a completely irrational fear, so what I do is when I need to go somewhere on a plane, I just get on a plane. Because I overcome the hysteria, the self-imposed hysteria on myself, and I realize air travel is really very safe. But if we were having a jumbo jet a day go down, killing everybody aboard, how many people would pause, would be air travel hesitant? I would imagine quite a lot. This is why they are not tracking these numbers. This is why they are not reporting these numbers. This is why CNN and MSNBC and Fox News are not all running tickers along the side of the thing of how many people have been killed by the shots, not the disease itself. And it actually gets worse than that in terms of comparison, because far more people have been injured than have died by probably around a factor of 10. A lot of very severe injuries, permanent disabilities, a whole lot of adverse events, but some of them are relatively mild. But if you look at even the disabilities, the myocarditis, which is serious, the long-term injuries from these shots, it's about 10 to 1 to these deaths. And if that's the case, that means we'd have 10 jumbo jets crash a day. But on most flights, only 10% of the people actually die in it, but the other 90% are injured, many of them severely. Now, if 10 jumbo jets a day were falling out of the sky, and on each of those flights, 10% of the people were dying, and the other 90% were pretty horribly injured, how many people do you think would be lining up at the airlines to take the next airplane flight? You can email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com. I'll send you this Steve Kirsch article if you don't want to even bother to do that. His name is Steve Kirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H. He's on Substack. The title of this article is "Yet Another Independent Study Confirms Over 150,000 Americans Killed by the COVID Vaccines." You can go look at it, and it's got, you know, it, like all of these people who are pointing these things out, it is very well documented. It has links to all the actual studies of the people who performed the studies, what they're coming up with. And here's the thing, too. What's so funny to me is that, you know, people will dismiss these researchers. And again, they're not pinpointing it to a certain number, because there is a lot of mystery in this. If our medical establishment was actually tracking this, if they had any interest whatsoever in knowing what the danger of this mass experimentation was, then we wouldn't need independent people going out there and trying to hunt and find these numbers. But they've got their methodology. They've got proof of causality. They've got all kinds of links in this article. So you can dig down deep into it if you're suspicious, if you want to debunk it and tell everybody that the vaccine is safe and effective. Then you can parse through this article and look. It's all heavily documented on how they come up with these things and all the statistical tools that they use to come up with these things. Alex Berenson, he is a former New York Times reporter. We've talked about him a lot. He's done a lot of coverage on COVID, on the vaccines, on pretty much everything COVID, and been blowing the whistle on a lot of these things, enough that he's been kicked off of Twitter and many of the social media platforms. Again, he's also on Substack, the last bastion of free speech so far. But he tells the story a couple of days ago about a New York Times editor, because I think he was an editor. Yeah. New York Times editor who, let's see what the date is. This is, I guess, towards the end of last year. When did this tweet go out? I know so little about Twitter or pay so little attention to it, I don't even know where to find the date. Anyway, he sent out a tweet. He was talking about the suffering of COVID, And then he goes into a little bit of virtue signaling. This is the editor from the New York Times, not Alex Berenson himself. Alex Berenson is showing this tweet. But this editor of the New York Times name is Carlos Tejeda, T-E-J-A-D-A, put out this tweet. But we haven't suffered like the people of Wuhan or Milan or New York, and our privilege, well, you just got to love this virtue signaling here, and our privilege gives us access to vaccines like the J&J jab Nora and I got just this morning. I'm thankful for the scientists and the medical professionals who defended us against COVID and for being able to protect my family, and I'm mournful for so many around the world who still have to wait for what my country takes for granted. This is the New York Times editor putting out one of the I got my jab, I'm so lucky, thank you for modern science. They put out, the same person put out another tweet. I guess they've got in their describer on Twitter, double vaxxed, Janssen fueled, Moderna boosted. Hey, Omicron, hit me with your wet snot. I guess that's supposed to be funny. And they wrote this as they were getting the Moderna vaccine, the Moderna booster, after getting the original J&J, because now all the health authorities who told us originally, whatever you do, don't mix and match. Now they've told you, knock yourselves out. J&J doesn't have a booster. Moderna looks like the best booster. Go out and get a Moderna. And so this New York Times editor goes out and gets his Moderna booster after his J&J shot. He says, all I had to do was fill out this form in a language I can't read. And he tells a little joke. Translation software tells me I now belong to the BTS Army. I believe he's in South Korea when he did this. Now here's the last tweet that was sent out on Carlos Tejeda's Twitter feed the day after talking about his Moderna booster after getting the J&J. This is a tweet on the account of Carlos Tejeda, the former New York Times editor. The tweet says this. This is Carlos's wife, Nora. It's with deepest sorrow that I have to share with you that Carlos passed away last night of a heart attack. I've lost my best friend, and our kids lost a truly great dad. I'll be off social media for a while. So this New York Times editor, who talked about his privilege and thanked the scientist for his J&J jab, which turns out didn't really spare him. He needed to go out and get a Moderna booster. They told him he could go ahead and mix and match, so he goes out and gets the Moderna shot. A day later, he dies of a heart attack. We'll see if the New York Times isn't trying to change their tune on this mass experimentation. I'm not holding my breath. All right, only a couple minutes left in this hour, and then we've got more to get to next hour. But what's truly amazing about all this stuff, these independent data researchers looking at 150,000, and some of them go up to 200,000 deaths from the shot, as I said, between that and the injuries, it's like 10 jumbo jets a day falling out of the sky, killing 10% of the people on board and injuring the other 90%. Nobody gets out of those planes unscathed. I doubt very seriously people would be piling onto planes saying, oh, I think I'll be okay. And, you know, this is the sad thing about this to me. The scary thing about this is we still don't know long-term side effects of these shots because there still is no testing. These things have been in arms for a year, 1 year. It's usually 5 to 10 years they would study these things, 1 year. So we're just seeing right now the horrific short-term side effects for people. But it would be one thing if the damn things worked. It's just amazing to look at the headlines. What all do we have here? In highly vaxxed New England, hospitals under unprecedented strain. We've got a story of another cruise ship outbreak, Royal Caribbean cruise. They were not able to denied entry to Aruba and Curacao because of an outbreak on their fully vaccinated ships. We had a Navy warship paused its deployment after COVID outbreak among 100% vaccinated crew. These stories are over and over again. We've got NBA 97%, NFL 98%, all of these things. They're all canceling games, going into COVID protocols. So it's almost like, you know, It's like people taking airplane trips, taking the risk of getting on airplanes if there were 10 dropping out of the sky a day, even though they didn't really need to even go anywhere. They didn't even need to take a trip. They didn't have a vacation. They didn't need to go anywhere for work. They weren't going to see anybody. They just happened to get on a plane because the government told them, hey, it's time to take a plane trip. And the things don't even work. Even that side of the argument is completely non-existent. Again, if you want a link to that Steve Kirsch article where they take a look, and these data scientists, if you want to take a look at the source material, Mike Madison at WIAB.com. I'll send it out to you. Be right back.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. Appreciate you joining me today. You want to stick around. I ran across a great piece on the Amish. The Amish and their response to COVID. I think people have pointed to the Amish community some on this, but I found kind of an encompassing piece on the Amish approach to COVID and the results that they got. And we'll listen to that. Pretty long clip, but a pretty good overarching look at exactly how this other community, right in the middle of the heartland here in the United States, suffering the same pandemic the rest of us are suffering. We'll see what they did and how it worked out for them. The news today, retail sales through the roof. The economy's doing great. You know, when I was listening to the CBS news break just now and they were reporting the numbers, I think they said up 18% from last year, 11% up from 2019. We do understand we've got massive inflation, but these things are not calculated well in retail sales. But I also really wonder, I find myself wondering, I wonder if COVID tests were included in retail sales. You know, they don't differentiate in these things. It's not like they say, you know, they're just counting teddy bears and train sets, diamond rings and boxes of chocolate. No, they're covering everything that's within retail sales. And I would imagine maybe the testing is what got them over the hump for high retail sales. Of course, a lot of that is inflation, but I'll admit, maybe it was a great year. Maybe Americans are feeling great. Maybe they just went out and were in the spirit of giving and spent a lot of money. I just am not a shopper. So many of those things, when it comes to retail sales, I just think, man, I spend so little. Really, I drive up and down the roads and just see all of these little shops, and God love them, all small local mom-and-pop shops. I just don't, I'm not a consumer of much of anything outside of things that I need. I'll spend a couple $100 here and there on supplements. Well, I'm just not somebody that's going to be spending a lot of time in the mall shopping, so I don't understand it. But, you know, hopefully that's good news. I hope a lot of retailers, particularly on Main Street, who have been beaten over the head for the last 2 years, made some money over the holidays, because I fear what may be coming your way over the next couple of months in this country. Ghislaine Maxwell's jury is back in session as of today. There was an article out, some prosecutors really kind of scratching their heads. This was Adam Horowitz, who's represented several Epstein victims. He said, talking about the prosecution, he said, quote, they had a mountain of evidence that they could have brought. He noted that the prosecution, quote, had a very difficult burden, and it didn't seem to put on as much evidence forward as I thought they would have. Yeah, you think? So we'll see if we get a verdict this week again during the holidays. I believe this is a perfect time for distraction, but we'll see. I'm still not convinced that the person on trial is actually the flesh and blood Ghislaine Maxwell, as we didn't even get a picture of her enjoying her Christmas dinner in a cell. Still no pictures of Ghislaine Maxwell post-arrest, except for the artist renditions in the court, the cartoon drawings that make her look like a skinny Oprah. So I have my doubts. Anyway, that's going on. Speaking of massive corruption of the elites. Okay, stick with me, because I'm going to do this thing on the Amish. I've got some other interesting stories, but I've got a couple things I want to get through. It might not be as popular. Candace Owens did an interview with Donald Trump, and I appreciate a listener who forwarded me this article. This is from Newsweek. I didn't see the entire Candace Owens interview, but I do have an excerpt from it. We'll play in just a second. But Candace Owens did broach the subject of pardoning Julian Assange and Edward Snowden with Donald Trump, both of which Trump did not do. I believe, have you wanted to continue to try to dismantle, discredit, and hold accountable the deep state in this country? Those were two pretty powerful guys that could have really gotten to the bottom of it. You know, we didn't get any prosecution of, what's his name? James Clapper, who went in front of Congress and lied about collecting data on Americans. Edward Snowden blew the whistle on that, proved that the NSA had been collecting information. And 4 years of Trump administration, Trump Justice Department, James Clapper is still just he's a contributor on what, MSNBC or CNN? He's living the dream, even though he lied to Congress and national television. When Owens asked whether he, meaning Trump, considered pardoning Assange or Snowden for exposing corruption, Trump replied, quote, "You have two sides to it. In one case, you have sort of a spy deal going on, and then another case, you have somebody that's exposing real corruption. I won't say which one, but I feel a little bit more strongly about one than the other, but I could have done it. I will say you have people on both sides of that issue, good people on both sides, and you have some bad people on one side, but I decided to let that one ride. Let the courts work it out. And I guess the courts are actually doing that." So this is Trump pretty much saying, well, yeah, I mean, I thought about it. The tone of this Newsweek article, based on his quotes, not any slant necessarily from Newsweek, but the quote, the slant that I get from Donald Trump is he wants credit for kind of considering pardoning Assange or Edward Snowden. Trump added, quote, "You know, you have a country and it was some spying things and do some bad things released that really set us back and really hurt us with what they did. But I could have gone. I was very close to going the other way." I read that as it's quoted. I know it sounds butchered, but no, that's how it's quoted here. So Donald Trump completely whiffing on two people who actually were exposing the deep state, and he wants credit for having thought about it and considered it. But this is the clip. Clip's made a lot of rounds, particularly in alternative media. It won't be on the probably won't be on the big networks that want to see Donald Trump run in 2024. It's kind of funny. I mean, I do this stuff to be hard on Trump. I believe the clip I'm about to play is completely disqualifying of him as a candidate ever again. It should be in the minds of a lot of people, although a lot of people are able to overlook this, just like the facts I gave you about 70% of hospitalizations for COVID in Great Britain are actually were admitted for other things, and just they were found to have COVID at some point during their hospital stay. That will bounce off of the hysterics like bullets off of Superman. They don't care. They are convinced that they need to be hysterical. And the same thing goes politically. A lot of Trump supporters will refuse to hear any of these things as anything other than, well, I disagree with him on this mass experiment on humanity, but he did some great things. I'd really like to see him back in 2024. It's kind of funny. I think I talked about this last year. We've got a listener, God love him, that sends a little Christmas happy to host at the station here. And last year, I believe it was last year, it might have been for the last 2 years, they got a letter that said, "For your tireless support of our leader, Donald Trump." I was left out. This doing this material is not only probably bad for my ratings in Central Mississippi as I take on Donald Trump and try to point out what I believe is painfully obvious, that this man is not what people really want or believe that he is, but it's costing me money at the same time. Once again, this happies were sent, and no criticism of the person who sends these little happies to the hosts, but I just find it kind of humorous that I get left out of these things because I dare to tackle the Trump issue from what I believe to be an objective observer opinion. This is Donald Trump talking vaccines with Candace Owens. Then I'm going to give you Candace Owens' response to all of this.
In terms of big pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers, especially, you're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously, I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously, you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it in less than 9 months.
To be able to do that. But now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from, this is a good thing and people should have this option, to military men, you're going to have to resign because you're not getting this vaccine. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I stand on forget about the mandates. People have to have their freedom. But at the same time,
Boy, he spent a lot of time really going after all these mandates, didn't he? What was that about? 2.5 seconds. Oh, forget about the mandates for a second. I disagree with those. But
vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917. Remember the Spanish flu killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There was no anything. I came up with a vaccine.
Oh, we could have ended the wars around the world if we just let COVID run. No vaccine? I don't know. Sounds like a feature, not a bug.
With three vaccines, all are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
Of testing. He acts like, you know, normally they're sketching this out by hand and they're using a pencil, but I gave them computers and really speeded up the process. I got them everything they need. No, the 5 to 10 years, that's the testing, Donald. That's when they see if these things are safe. That's what you cut out.
And yet more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden, than under you. And more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking the ones.
Here we go. Here we go. I mean, I know I'm supposed to ignore this. I shouldn't play the clip and I should excuse it. And, you know, we're supposed to pretend that he's not saying exactly the same thing as Anthony Fauci and Thomas Dobbs.
The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
What about the masking of children?
Yeah. There you go. So it's safe, effective, the greatest leap in mankind. He got rid of that pesky testing requirement and maybe set the precedent where we never have to test a shot again. No more safety testing for any shots. Everything will be an emergency. This clip and the clip that I played last week, where he tried to convince his supporters to take credit for the shots. It's you. You created this thing. Don't let them turn you against the shot. When you go against the shot, Donald Trump says, you're playing into their hands. I don't know who they are. WYAB? That little clip right there should be completely disqualifying to me. For anybody who is seeing the atrocity that is this mass vaccination campaign, last hour we're talking about 150,000 people that have probably died from this shot, and it's not working. Yet you've got Donald Trump out there saying this is the greatest thing humanity's, well, not humanity, he did for humanity. Candace Owens, she's going to carry a little bit of water for Donald Trump. She wants to continue to have access. Now, Candace Owens does some good stuff, but I don't fall in love with politicians. It's one of my cardinal rules. It's been a quote of the day several times. Don't fall in love with politicians. Candace Owens is asking that conservatives go easy on Trump because he is, quote, too old to do independent research on vaccines following an interview where he encouraged vaccinations and said he's gotten a COVID-19 booster. The conservative pundit reached out to her followers in an Instagram video posted after a Wednesday interview with President Donald Trump and told them that Trump, 75, only praised vaccines because he's not savvy enough to do better research. Quote, people oftentimes forget that, like, how old Trump is, she said. Quote, he comes from a generation. I've seen a lot of people who are older who have the exact same perspective, like they came from a time before. Came from a time before TV, before internet, before being able to conduct independent research. And everything they read to them that was in a newspaper that was pitched to them, they believed that that was a reality. So what Candace Owens is saying, hey, don't turn against Trump because of this thing. He's too old to do his own research. You know, if this is what Trump is doing, if he's unable to do his own research, but he's surrounded by policy people still to this day, he's got advisors, he's got all kinds of people around him. He's still surrounded by the kinds of people that can't do their research either and provide him with anything different. Donald Trump is surrounded by statists. He's surrounded by pharmaceutical lobby people. He's surrounded by political operatives who are playing this game. So I don't really care if Donald Trump is too old to understand the internet and do his own research. The fact that he still is of this opinion and refuses to acknowledge any of the concerns, and a matter of fact, dismisses him and then tries to use that Jedi mind trick last week with Bill O'Reilly to try to convince his supporters that they're the ones that created this shot. At his $138 a ticket appearance with Bill O'Reilly, one of the main warmongers at Fox News. I mean, everything about the last couple of weeks with Donald Trump stinks to high heaven. And look, doing this material, it costs me money, I told you. I don't get the Christmas cards everybody else gets. But this is completely disqualifying to me. There were a lot of things. I didn't vote for Donald Trump in 2020. A lot of people angry with me about that. No, I didn't vote for Joe Biden. Stop being a child. But I couldn't vote for Donald Trump, who didn't end any of the wars, who surrounded himself with the deep state, who hired a bunch of Goldman Sachs people, who had an Eli Lilly guy at the Health and Human Services, who hired John Bolton. I wasn't going to vote for that guy that lavished tons of sanctions on Russia. I could go through my laundry list of grievances that I had with Donald Trump during his 4 years. Would he have been better than Biden? Yes. Do I wish he was president instead of Biden right now? Yes, but I would also prefer a ham sandwich or a golden retriever to Joe Biden. So saying that is not saying a whole lot. Donald Trump is slowly but surely, I hope, with his supporters disqualifying himself, start looking for another candidate. Now, there is no political savior to this. There's no political solution to what we're going through right now other than resistance at the local level. But you can knock yourself out trying to find another savior. I know a lot of people will try to hitch their wagon to DeSantis, who has been incredibly good in Florida on his stuff, but he's another vaccine salesman and a warmonger. It's a shame. I don't want to say that. I like Ron DeSantis. I think he's done great things for Florida. I hope he stays in Florida so that he can continue to at least keep one great state in this country free. But Ron DeSantis is not the savior any more than Donald Trump is. But the comments that he has made just over the past week are unbelievable to me, that so many people can just ignore them, brush them off, and continue to support what will be a 79-year-old candidate, or no, 77-year-old candidate, in 2024. I'll be right back.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
I would imagine somewhere in the talk radio playbook or handbook, there's probably something that says, try to avoid topics that alienate two-thirds of your listenership. I just never got the handbook. The latest poll showing 67% want to see Donald Trump run for president in 2024. So I understand where I'm treading here. But I have not ever been shy for 5 years now of getting out ahead of this. I was talking about the FDA and the CDC long before everybody realized you've been sold out by these agencies. I've been talking about John Bolton the day his name was considered. It took many people a couple of years to realize what a disaster John Bolton was as a national security advisor to Donald Trump. And I believe that when all things are said and done, people are going to be saying, yeah, Mike was pointing out these problems with the Trump presidency and particularly with this vaccine stuff. It's going to come out. I mean, it's going to be one of these things, just like the John Bolton thing was inevitable, the William Barr. Trump hired a former CIA guy, a deep state swamp creature, to head up the Justice Department. And I warned you about that when it happened. Christopher Wray, another deep state Washington insider, to head up the FBI. And I called out every single one of these people the day they were announced, even in consideration. I got out ahead of it. And when they were nominated and then confirmed, I warned and warned and warned, and everybody told me I didn't understand. But then within a matter of months to years, people saw it. Oh, yeah, look, that was a bad guy. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to learn, you're going to find out, you're going to realize, I guess, at some point, I don't know what Trump's deal is. I really don't. He facilitated so much bad deep state stuff. He hired so many swamp creatures that it almost feels like he's a plant, although I don't believe he's that good of an actor. I think Donald Trump has got a massive ego, and he's very easily manipulated by his advisors, who tell him, you've got to do this, or you're going to look weak, or you've got to say this. And I think he listens to him, and he may be listening to these same people on the shots. But I'm going to play just the end of that clip again, because he says something on here that is just absolutely unbelievable to me. that he's talking about this stuff. And then I'm going to move on. Two segments to lose two-thirds of the audience, and then I'll try to get you back. Stick around. You want to listen to the experience of the Amish during COVID. I'm going to get to that in a second. But again, this is Trump's interview with Candace Owens.
Know anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm-hmm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet, more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, yeah, under Joe Biden, right, than under you. And more people took the vaccine.
I love Candace Owens trying to do the herding of everybody. You know, let's blame this year on Joe Biden. Now, it would be fair for the media to blame Joe Biden the same way they blamed Donald Trump. They said Trump bungled the COVID response, and that's why we saw so many deaths in 2020. And they give a complete pass to Joe Biden in 2021. This is glaringly obvious. I'm not unaware of that. It's obviously quite true. But Candace Owens trying to do this same two-party garbage with this stuff. This is a crime against humanity. Black, white, young, old, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. She's trying to do this thing where, well, yeah, we need to start criticizing Joe Biden for this thing, while she's talking to the guy that rolled this shot out and is proud of it.
This year, so people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but yeah, some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
You hear that? This is him saying, oh, nobody dies when they take the vaccine. No. These vaccines are just fantastic. Nobody dies who takes this vaccine. Unbelievable. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I was off on Thursday and Friday, so there were a couple of pretty gross clips that went out there. Here's another so-called conservative leader who was really sold out his people. This is Boris Johnson. Oh, he was supposed to be the so-called conservative champion of Great Britain, and he has just turned into he's all on board with Build Back Better. He's doing everything the globalists want him to do, and this was a particularly gross one. When it comes to, he's also, like Trump, out there hawking the shots.
And I hope I can be forgiven for taking pride in the immense spirit of neighborliness that the people of this country have shown. Getting jabbed, not just for themselves, for ourselves, but for friends and family and everyone we meet. And that, after all, is...
Just to let everybody know, anybody that's around me, I feel no obligation to do anything for my health, ever. I mean, ever, not just COVID, anytime. You don't have a responsibility to me. I absolve you.
The teaching of Jesus Christ, whose birth is at the heart of this enormous festival, that we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so let's think of all those who are being good neighbors and thinking of others. All those in the NHS working over Christmas, our care workers, everyone involved in the incredible vaccination campaign, those looking after people who have lost loved ones this year and who would otherwise be on their own.
So basically the horribleness in that clip was his, you know, I mean, Jesus would have gotten this shot because he loved other people. Not just Jesus. This is really gross. Who did this? This was the Canadian Health Authority. And this is just beyond bizarre because are Canadian kids getting alerts from the Canadian Health Ministry? I wouldn't be surprised. If the kids in Canada care about this stuff, you can blame the parents.
Hi, kids. Just popping in with an update to let you know everything is shaping up nicely for Christmas Eve. Santa, Mrs. Claus, and all the eligible elves have had their booster shots. Santa is well kitted out in the best layers of protection. His mask is well fitted and the sleigh is naturally ventilated. So I am happy to report that Santa has the all clear to take off.
I mean, this is just incredibly sick. I mean, the thing, I mean, kids aren't listening to, I mean, who is this for? Our parents in Canada. Now, I do not doubt there are some hysterical parents out there who have got their kids so terrified of this germ that they're worried about Santa becoming a super spreader. It's okay, kids. Look, they've given us the okay that Santa got his booster. It gets worse.
I'm also happy to report that all of the reindeer are healthy and symptom-free. But just to be extra sure, Rudolph has had his COVID-19 test to confirm his red nose is not a COVID-19 concern. Hey, hello, Dr. New. Are you?
See, now they're going to do a skit. They're going to do a skit for you, for the kids of Canada.
Checking on Rudolph's COVID-19 test results.
Hello, Dr. Tan. I was just looking at Rudolph's results. I can confirm the results are negative and is free and clear to guide the sleigh on Christmas Eve.
Wonderful. I guess that red nose really is just to light the way.
Oh, man. Holy cow. All right, this one's a little bit more fun. This has gone viral, pun intended. This was a woman. God love our citizen journalists out there. This has been the best part of what we've seen over the last 2 years. We got to look for some silver linings, and it is people becoming activists all of a sudden in the face of this absurdity, the sane ones, because they say in order to break this mass brainwashing, people have got to continue to speak out. Basically, you've got one media outlet in central Mississippi that continues to do it, and that's right here in WYAB. But this woman went to a pharmacist, and she recorded this for everybody to see. This has gone viral. And she wants the pharmacist to make sure that she's getting her proper informed consent and asks him to pull out the vaccine insert. And this is kind of live time, a pharmacist becoming awake. And this is why it's important for people to continue to speak out against these things. I think this is a great thing. You're going to listen to a pharmacist wake up live time.
That's from the Moderna vaccine.
Okay, Moderna. Is it the same for Pfizer and all of the others?
Each brand is a little different.
Okay. So may I take this with me to look at all of the safety studies, placebo safety studies on this?
Because the one that's given to patients.
He's already starting to kind of see. Wait, what are we doing?
Doesn't contain that information. So that.
Which one are they giving if it's not this one?
So no, that's the one. That is the one we are giving.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the package insert given to patients isn't the full information.
So it's not from the manufacturer themselves.
That is from the manufacturer, but it's truncated. That's okay. The full thing.
It's a marketing piece, essentially. It's a marketing piece, not full of any facts or studies or any true informed consent. It's their marketing team put it together.
So why is it intentionally blank if it's all the safety studies?
They're inside
of it?
This folds up.
Okay,
so now this pharmacist, who I guess he's not done this before, he's pulling out the package insert, the actual giant page. It's something like a 3x5, and I don't mean postcard. I mean 3 feet by 5 foot folded up piece of paper that comes in with these vaccines. He's going to pull this out and show the lady where all the real information is.
Okay, so I'm going to get one of these. It's going to be 35 pounds. I've got to get online and find it.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
He just realized the whole thing's blank. There's nothing written on it.
I already know that it's intentionally blank. My last question is, how is it informed consent when all of the safety studies, placebo safety studies, are not listed from the manufacturer?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I would talk to CVS about that.
Okay. So if we don't know what we're injecting into ourselves, I don't understand how that's informed consent.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And you are correct. I should not be giving these vaccines at all.
Whoa. How about that? Now, to this guy's credit, he's been doing his job. He's been living in the mass hypnosis of his bosses at CVS, at all of the doctors on television. But at least there's some little part of his mind that does not fight the truth that's right in front of him, and he kind of acknowledges it.
Okay. Oh, why are you giving up?
Because I am told to, and that's how. Because I am told to, and I am told.
I understand.
And,
that.
And everything I have shown, including the patients that I have given it to, it is safe.
It is safe and effective. What studies are you going by that states that it's safe and effective? I know these are tough questions, but I have to ask.
I know, and I'm sorry, but...
But you can't answer, so I understand that.
I unfortunately cannot answer that, okay. And I feel... And right now, I'm feeling totally inadequate.
Yeah, that's all right, buddy. At least you've got that little daylight in your brain to listen to somebody else and start to re-examine your own beliefs and the fact this pharmacist knows now that he was just sold a bill of goods. Just words, safe and effective, safe and effective. It's just that's all he's ever heard. This woman's pointing out to him, what are you basing that on? And he realizes he has no ground to stand on when he makes that statement. When I come back, we're going to get into this stuff with the Amish. I thought this was pretty fascinating. Be right back. All right, final segment for the day. I've said since pretty early in 2020, we would have been better off if they had just done nothing about COVID. No, I'm talking about nothing. Maybe a memo to nursing homes. Hey, there's a bad bug going around. Everybody needs to be pretty careful. They could have done things like tell everybody to keep their vitamin D levels high, get some exercise, good time to lose weight. If they wanted to get us generally healthier and boost our immune systems, but that's bad for the medical establishment profits, so they certainly weren't going to do that. So if they'd just done nothing, we would have been better off. The argument when you see mask mandates go on, but the spike follows that, vaccine passports, huge spike, vaccinations, still huge spike, where everything, where they retreat to, the hysterics retreat to, but it would have been worse had we not done those things. Yeah, the masks aren't great, but it would have been worse. Yeah, the shots might still, you can still catch it, you can still transmit it, and you can still be hospitalized, but it would have been worse. That's always the thing. So what we have to do in comparison is we have to find examples where they didn't do anything and it wasn't worse. Sweden being the big glaring example of the last 18 months. They predicted doom and gloom for Sweden, and Sweden did great. But what about here on our shores? Middle of the heartland here in the United States, the Amish community. This is a piece by Cheryl Atkinson where she went and looked at the COVID situation in Amish country.
When it comes to actions taken to address the COVID-19 threat, hindsight is still very much underway. For your consideration, a story and outcome you probably aren't hearing much about anywhere else. It takes place in the heart of Amish country.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Thousands of families lead lives largely separate from modern America. The Amish are a Christian group that emphasizes the virtuous over the superficial. They don't usually drive, use electricity, or have TVs. And during the COVID-19 outbreak, they became subjects in a massive social and medical experiment.
So it's safe to say there was a whole different approach here in this community when coronavirus broke out.
Absolutely.
Than many other places.
Absolutely.
Calvin Lapp is Amish Mennonite.
There's three things the Amish don't like, and that's government. They won't get involved in government.
I didn't know it. I'm Amish.
They don't like the public education system. They won't send their children to education, and they also don't like the health system.
Oh, my gosh, I'm Amish. I'm just realizing it.
They rip us off. Those are three things that we feel like we're fighting against all the time. Well, those three things are all part of what COVID is.
After a short shutdown last year, the Amish chose a unique path that led to COVID-19 tearing through at warp speed. It began with an important religious holiday in May.
When they take communion, they dump their wine into a cup and they take turns to drink out of that cup. So you go the whole way down the line and everybody drinks out of that cup. So if one person has coronavirus, the rest of the church is going to get coronavirus. First time they went back to church, everybody got coronavirus.
Lapp says they weren't denying coronavirus. They were facing it head on.
It's a worse thing to quit working than dying. But to shut down and say that we can't go to church, we can't get together with family, we can't see our old people in the hospital, we got to quit working, you're working, it's going completely against everything that we believe. And you're changing our culture completely to try to act like they wanted us to act the last year. And we're not going to do it.
Steve Nolt is a scholar on Amish and Mennonite culture and Mennonite himself. He's studying Amish news publications to analyze community-wide trends.
So are you saying as of about May of 2020, things kind of went back to normal in the Amish community?
Yeah, it's kind of by the middle of May, it's sort of like back to a typical behavior again.
That also meant a
That's May of last year. They shut down for a little bit. They didn't know what they were dealing with. We're seeing pictures of the Chinese falling over in the street. Turned out to be just hype or planted stories. And I'll give it to them. First couple of weeks, I was like, you know, what are we dealing with? I've got kids. I was a little worried myself. I stayed a little bit to myself. I washed my hands for about 2 weeks. And then I realized, oh, okay, this is just a bug. And this is what the Amish did. This is May of last year. They went back to church. They had a ceremony. A bunch of people got COVID. Ended up with natural immunity, didn't all die, and by May of 2020, they were back to normal.
Avoiding hospitals.
I know of some cases in which Amish people, like, refused to go to the hospital, even when they were very sick, because if they went there, they wouldn't be able to have visitors. And it was more important to be sick, even very sick, at home, and have the ability to have some people around you than to go to the hospital and be isolated.
Then last March, remarkable news. The Lancaster County Amish were reported to be the first community to achieve herd immunity, meaning a large part of the population had been infected with COVID-19 and become immune. Some outsiders are skeptical, and solid proof is hard to come by.
Even those who believed that they had COVID tended not to get tested. Their approach tended to be, I'm sick. I know I'm sick. I don't have to have someone else tell me I'm sick. Or,
like every other disease, every other year. Don't feel good. Stay at home. Nurse yourself back to health. Go on with your life. This is what the Amish did.
A concern that if they got a positive test, they would then be asked to really dramatically limit what they were doing in a way that might be uncomfortable for them. So we don't have that testing number.
We didn't want the numbers to go up because then they would shut things more. What's the advantage of getting a test?
Amen. From your lips to the population's ears right now, what is the purpose of you all rushing out to get this test?
One thing's clear, there's no evidence of any more deaths among the Amish than in places that shut down tight. Some claim there were fewer here. That's without masking, staying at home, or another important measure.
Did most of the community, at least the adults, get the COVID-19 vaccine?
Again, we don't have data on that, but I think it's pretty clear that that in percentage terms, relatively few did.
Well, we're glad all the English people got their COVID vaccines. That's great, because now we don't have to wear a mask. We can do what we want. So good for you. Thank you. We appreciate it. No, we're not getting vaccines. Of course not. We all got the COVID. So why would you get a vaccine?
Now, here's the kicker. Because they didn't do anything. They contracted it. They got herd immunity. They got it through their community without any disasters. And went back to business.
Staying open, the Amish here have one tangible 2020 accomplishment few others can claim.
We have this joke: when everybody else started walking, we started running. We made more money in the last year than we ever did. It was our best year ever.
Did the Amish really find a magic formula? They say yes, and they don't care who doubts it.
Yeah, all the Amish know we got herd immunity. Of course we got herd immunity. When the whole church gets coronavirus, we know we got coronavirus. Yes, we think we're smarter than everybody. I mean, shouldn't be bragging, but we think we did the right thing.
You did. That is what would have happened to the entire country had we just told Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, your doctor, our politicians, the rest of the bureaucracy that stood up and demanded all of these ridiculous theatrics like the masks and the lockdowns and the shutting of businesses at 10 o'clock and the 6 feet of social distancing and the wiping down your Doritos bag. I saw a guy in the grocery store the other day. full face mask, mask, and gloves on. Had like a 24-pack of some diet sodas straddling his cart. I mean, I told you, I don't like to be judgy, but come on, man. Good Lord. The guy's destroying his health with the products he buys in the stores, but he's gowned up like he's heading into an operating theater, and he thinks he's doing himself a favor. I don't get through to people like that. I don't have the reach to do it. But the Amish, just another one of these examples. You know, she starts off, Cheryl Atkinson, who is a great reporter. She does independent stuff, so she does not beholden to anybody that I can tell so far. You know, she starts this off by saying, you know, these are people right here that they did nothing. Let's take a look at how they turned out. She said that we're all investigating hindsight. You know who's not looking hindsight? Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, the rest of the hysterics. They don't want to go backwards and look. They don't want to do these comparisons because they'd have to admit that they were wrong or just evil. Neither one of those things are they going to do. Hindsight's up to us normies out here. And using hindsight, we can figure out what we do going forward for those with eyes to see. That's all the time I got. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how